Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
For me, there's nothing better than showcasing my joy. As a matter of fact, you all get to hear it twice a week, every week. Our friends at Frito-Lay know that joy is bold, vivacious, and so contagious. Joy gives life flavor, rhythm, and vibes. And when joy takes flight, it can't be contained. It's robust. More than a smile or a laugh, it's an infectious experience. So here's to all the creators that inspire us with your creativity and passion. Let's keep filling the world with joy. And make sure you look out for the My Joy campaign, powered by Frito-Lay. Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting frisky. Right now, he's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot a whiskey. Right now, he's probably up behind her with a pool stick, telling her how to shoot a combo. And he don't know. I dug my key into the side of his pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive. Hard my name into his leather seat. Yes. I got a Louisville slicker on both headlights. Slash my heart at all four times. Maybe next time he'll think before he cheats.
I love me some Carrie Underwood, girl.
And probably ought to handle it for the next girl.
I love it.
It's the black girl in country music. Boogly boogly boo.
Yes. And I mean, hide your kids, hide your wife, honey. Here we come.
Can you imagine if I made a... I would. If Beyonce is pissing them off, I would piss... I'm about to write a country song right now. Right damn fucking now.
Oh my gosh. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, niggas.
How you guys
Welcome
doing?
Back.
Welcome back.
Are you well?
I'm well.
In this. Are you well, sis? How was your week?
I'm safe. I have what I need. It was a week. This week was full, but productive. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Me and my mom were talking yesterday. Both of us, there are just times where Brian is just like right on our minds. And, you know, we were just talking about him, sharing stories and stuff. And there was a, my mom, both me and my mom had baseball bats in our house. Speaking of Louisville Sluggers, right?
Louisville Sluggers, yes.
Because when my mom bought a house, Brian gave her a baseball bat and she kept it behind the front door.
Yes.
And, you know, she was telling me about the time when he gave it to her. And I told him, there was this crazy lady at church that was like, you know, sending me threatening emails, talking about she know where I live and all this other crazy.
Wait, no, you'd never told me that.
Okay, well, that's another story for another day. But let's
hold on. Okay. Is this recently? Is this in Maryland?
No.
Oh, okay. This is oh so she's closer to me.
Yeah, but this okay. is when Brian was still alive. This was I was living in Harlem at the time.
Oh yeah, this was a minute ago. Okay.
Yeah. And so
she was old?
Yes.
So she might be dead. Okay, continue.
So it was this crazy story, but in any case, I went to my grandmother's house and my brother was like, he came in after I did. He asked me where my keys were. He was like, I'm gonna put something in your car. And he was like, see me before you leave. And I said, all right. And so it was just like, you know, okay, sure. So I went to the car and I see across the back seat and on the floor, he had left a baseball bat. And so I go upstairs, I go to his room. I'm like, he was like, you went to the car? I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, so I'm here to see you. Like, what's going on? He was like, you know, I understand there's some people that's been throwing around some threats and talk about, you know, they going to show up on you, pop up on you. They know where you stay. So I figured I'd give you some security. And I said, mm-hmm. okay. And he mm-hmm. said, I put something in your back seat. And he said, I just want you to just be mindful that it's there. And if you need to, you better mm-hmm. use it. I said, I'll tell you something. Okay. He's yeah. like, and you know how to use it? You better use it. And so I still have that. And my mom was talking about hers. We both sort of keep it in the same place. So if anybody run up in here.
Baseball bat on a watermelon. Okay. Stop it.
I know how to use Wait. It. You understand?
Sister, I know you said this was a story for another day, but I am okay. just... I just can't get past, like, I really need to know.
What? Well, it's not, like, it's very strange. It was this one particular, I don't even remember the connection.
Okay.
But.
Outside of church.
Yeah. It was just like, for whatever, I do not know this person. And there's such a gap between our ages mm-hmm. that there was no way that I had done anything to her.
Oh, so she wasn't well.
No. She had just okay. made up in her right. mind. She felt some sort of way about me. And I got an email one day and I didn't know what to do with it. So I took it and I showed it to my grandfather and he was like, let me take care of this. I don't know. I don't, you know, all I know, it was like, you know, he came back and was just like, I've handled the situation, but you need to let me know if that lady get within a certain amount of feet of you, you need to let me know.
Okay.
And so, you know, of course, you know, mommy shared it with Brian. And so that was, you know, it was just like, you down there living in the city by yourself and I can't mm-hmm. be there. So if somebody try something, I done taught you how to use this and yeah. you better use it. So that's what it was.
So, my mother always told us to act like a raccoon. If somebody came at us, she was like, you go feral. Do you hear me? She was like, feral. She's like, I don't care what these people, are. You fight dirty. You hear me? And I was like, copy, say less.
Jay's like, I listen to my mother. I don't have.
Say less. That's how I ended up getting in a fight with this girl named Felsha. And my Felsha. Sister walked up. Felsha, okay. Tried to make fun of my sister's name. She said, and Felsha's mother was in jail. So Felsha said to, she said to my sister's name is Paige. She said, was your mama on crack when she named you? And so that's why I was like, I mean, you know what? Her mother is here kills. Every day making her dinner. I said, your mother is eating cold sandwiches. Oh, so of course she was ready to fight. So the next day,
Felsha is crazy. Is that PH or F? Felsha.
I believe it was a F.
Yikes.
And so my mother was like, take this lime squeezer with you to school.
Lime squeezer?
No, I'm not doing, like, I'm just going to use these hands, girl. Like, so.
A lime squeezer is crazy.
And it was when the lime squeezers were not, you know, now they're pretty colors. They're green and they're yellow. But they used to be steel. And so she tried to put a lime squeezer in my back pocket. I was like, girl, get out of here.
Lime squeezer is nuts.
No, it's not. No, I'm. This is a real story. I can't make none of this up. So I get to school and I'm like,
Felsha.
So here come Felsha first thing in the morning. Like, I knew she was going to be ready to go. So I dropped my shit and I was like, all right, let's go. So we got going. Well, all I know is Felsha falls. Okay. It's like, ah, and I didn't even at that moment, I hadn't even done anything. What I needed to do for the way that she felt. Let me tell you about the Black Rhoda from the Black Bad Seed, which is my sister, who walked up. And when Felsha falls, I see my sister standing there like a psycho. You know what she did? She had a bag, like the thank you bag. She had wrapped up a couple of them, gone down to some construction that was on our block,
a brick?
Put some rocks and some bricks in the bag, tied it up, put it in her backpack. And this is a nigga who wore pigtails to school. So those are ones you got to look out for.
Oh, God.
Came. We all knew Felsha was going to try to fight me the next day for what I said about her mother, where I was defending my sister. And Paige knocks Felsha in the back of the knees with that bag of those rocks and those bricks and stuff from the construction site.
Yikes. You can't mess with y'all.
No, our family's not well.
I can't mess with y'all.
We're not well. We're not well.
So, yes, every now and then across my mama the will ask me, and I'll ask her, you still got your bat? You still got your bat, girl, and you better use it. Now,
I love that.
Brian said you better use it. I mean, it was just all, you know, my brother wasn't really hype. He was very even tempered, and he only really raised his voice when he was like playing ball. But he had an inflection in his voice that would let you know when he means something. And I knew when he looked at me and raised his eyebrows and said, you better use it. That was a directive.
And Brian had a deep, bassy voice.
Very, very, very deep. All of his life. My brother never went through that puberty voice change. I mean, the way that he sounded as an adult is the way that he sounded at two.
That's so crazy.
No, no, at 2 years old.
He'd be like three. It was, could have some crackers.
No, it was very, and I mean, I told you, like, we would be out somewhere and Brian, you know, he would cry, especially for mommy. It was worse with what he wanted because Brian was a pacifier. He had a pacifier, and he used to call it a bai. I don't know how we got out of.
Oh my God, that's like Noah calling it a paya.
It was a bai, and he was like, I want my bai. I want my bai. He'd be like, bruh. Oh, my boy.
Have you ever seen Honey, I Blew Up the Kid?
Yeah.
And the kid is giant. I can imagine Brian be like, no, not.
No. Exactly. Exactly.
I want my boy. I want my boy.
Like, all right, settle down, Blue.
And mommy, we always laugh. Every time me and my mother laugh, we see yellow jello anywhere. We laugh because that's another Brian. He stuttered and he saw speech pathologists as a child. He struggled with why. Any word that started with why or had a why in it was a difficult. And so we was at this cafeteria. We're on vacation one time. We was at this cafeteria and we was in the line. And Mommy said, you know, Brian used to like tug on her arm or her dress or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, yes, Brian, what you want? He said, I want some
Lelo Jello. I want some Lelo Jello. I want some Lelo Jello.
Hey, Lord Jesus. My brother can't talk, Lord. Help us, God. But he outgrew all of his issues, his speech impediment issues, thanks be to God.
Yes.
But for a long time, it was like,
Lelo Jello.
I want some Lelo Jello. I want some Lelo Jello.
See, this is how I know we're still problematic with children of the 80s and the 90s because we still make fun of things we're not supposed
to.
I told you about Jared with his speech. I told you about Jared.
No.
Oh, sis. Oh. So it was this kid in my class. His name was Jared, but all the R's were W's. And so, but he was rotten, right? Oh. So he trying to talk shit.
How dare you and not be able to speak and be rotten? How is that?
And that's exactly, I said, relax, Jared. And he was like, he was enraged. He goes, my name is not Jared, it's Jared. When I took ammunition for the rest of my days, do you hear me? I was like, oh,
Jared
God.
Is terrible.
I was like, do
I'm
you
so
hear
sorry.
Us? He's like, it's not Jared, it's Jared. Oh, God.
Jared is wild.
Yo, and then his brother had the same thing. He had an older brother. So the brother came trying to threaten me because I got beef with Jared now. He goes, you've been making fun of my brother? And I was like, not the both of you. Oh, nigga. was like, if your mother comes up to me, it's gonna be a problem, okay? Yo, that was pure comedy. Wow. You've been making fun of my brother.
It was the
Anywho, well, we've done enough damage at the top of this show.
I'm so sorry. Please don't cancel us. We've evolved. These are the things we laughed at as children. We're better now. You see, we understand.
I mean, I'm still laughing, but this is also like y'all can't cancel me off of like 1992. That's crazy. Anyway.
Forgive us.
But also, make sure you tune into our Patreon, okay? That is where you get additional content. Key and I were talking this week or last week or whenever this comes out about
Fanny.
Fanny.
Yeah.
Fanny.
Fanny, Fanny. You know.
What did you say her middle name was?
Tafia. Yes, Tafia.
Yes.
Willis. Yes. Are there any white people whose last name is Willis anywhere in
there
the world?
There has to be. Oh, and you know why.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry. That was inappropriate.
It was.
That was.
this whole segment has been problematic.
I have made this an episode of Jade and XD, so I think it's time for us to head to the kitchen table talk.
Sorry.
What say you?
Yes, I think it's time. Let's try to be better people. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by the experts, and not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
On my social media this week, I did a post and I said, on a scale of Tamela Mann to Kelly Price to Rosa Parks, how tired are you?
Wait, Tamela Mann, that's the Tyler Perry.
Lady. That's Truth Is I'm Tired. And Kelly Price.
And now she's a bad bitch, right? She wears those Herve Leger dresses. That's the one. I'm dead ass. I'm sorry.
Ooh, Jesus, help us.
But she's a bad bitch now,
yes,
right?
She's pulled together. She's got the Weight Watchers. She's got the Weight Watchers.
Okay.
But she is a body combattie. That's a fact.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not about the weight loss. It's about what she did
after. She also
had
a song where the first opening lyric is, Truth Is I'm Tired.
Oh, Truth Is I'm Tired.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, remember Kelly Price had that song called Tired of the Way He Treats Me. All of that. And then Rosa Parks, all of that. So I said that I was Thea Vidal tired. You remember Thea Vidal? I've been working hard. Two jobs every day.
Two jobs, okay?
Giving Brandy, time to
Brandy
my children.
Brandy Braid Bob.
Showing them the way. Yes.
I love Thea.
Me too. I miss her. Somebody ride past the house. Anybody ride past the house and check on Thea? She doing all right?
I think she's been reincarnated into Miss Pat.
That tracks.
Checks, right?
That tracks.
Okay.
But I feel like, you know, I know we'd be joking around and being totally unserious, but on a serious note, I have been just in my own... Remember, I shared, I believe, on last week's episode that I got some blood work indicated to me that I am managing some stress more than usual. It's really like showing up in my body in ways. So I've been doing a lot of sort of research, you know what I mean? So I'm just going to read about things and try to learn and better myself. So I came across some information about exhaustion and thought that it warranted a conversation because there's lots of symptoms and sort of just general information about how exhaustion, particularly mental exhaustion, shows up in the body that we often disregard as just, you know, oh, age or busyness. But if these things happen, especially in combination with one another, it can be an indicator that there's something more serious going on. And so I wanted to sort of share some of that and then talk through some of the things that we might be able to do, practices that we might be able to cultivate in terms of addressing and overcoming and managing the overwhelm and exhaustion and anxiety. Because if we don't, it will actually start to deteriorate our quality of life and our health.
Yeah.
More specifically.
Yeah.
So one of the things the first thing that I found that was pretty interesting to me was just like, you know, physical exhaustion versus mental exhaustion. And physical exhaustion, the main difference is when you're physically tired, that can be remedied by sleep. Whatever, you know, whatever that actual feeling of being drained and being, you know, like your body is worn down or just needs some rest and recovery. When you take a nap or go to sleep and wake up the next day, your energy is renewed. You have addressed the physical exhaustion in your life. But when you go to sleep and you go to bed tired and you wake up tired. It's bigger than just my body needs sleep. And there is often an indication that you're tired mentally. And mental exhaustion is not remedied by a nap. There are things that we have to do to address mental exhaustion. So I know we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show, but and I know in a conversation that you, me, and Mary had last week, we were always just talking about just balancing. I think the thing that makes it one of the things about adulting is like it just never ever ends. Like there's always new responsibilities, new tasks, new things that need to be done. And that is daunting and overwhelming. So has mental exhaustion or some of the things that we've been talking about so far, does that sound familiar to you? You felt that in your body, in your life, in any particular way, sister?
Oh, sister, in so many ways. I was actually out to dinner with our good Babisha.
Hey, Babisha.
Or out to drinks is what we were out to. By the way, side note, this RSVP culture, like this reservation culture at this, not RSVP, reservation culture is infuriating. We used to be able to roll up to a bar and just
have
and now it's like, I'm sorry, the bar seats are reserved. We have a party of three. I was like, what is this now? But anyway,
bar
we went out to drinks.
Wow.
Bar seats were reserved. Yikes. Depends where you go.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're just chatting about life and the world and how we're doing and all of that. And I said, Bobby, I think I'm depressed.
Word.
You know, and that's not something I've ever really said. I was like, I think I'm depressed. And he was like, why do you think so? I said, because I can't get myself together.
Yeah.
Like I wake up exhausted. And then last week I had a day where I'm doing stuff and I have a long to-do list. And at a certain point, I could not go on any longer. I had to lay my head down for 30 minutes. And it wasn't because I was sleepy. It was because I literally was so overwhelmed that the only thing I could do was close my eyes. Because I did not know how I was going to go on. And so, yes, especially now as I as we have been talking about over and over again. But in general, I'm finding as time goes on and with that overload of information we were discussing, you know, a couple of episodes ago, and maybe being more cognizant to the ways of the world, in addition to like personal responsibilities and trying to keep my family going and trying to intentionally impart moments of joy, I'm like, I am motherfucking exhausted.
It's true. It's true. You said a lot. And in just with respect to the redundancy of it, the constants, like, you know, it's like you're constantly inundated with information, and it's just hard to, I think the overwhelm for me is often because it's like you're always on the receiving end. You don't even get really time to sort of process and organize and think through something, because when you're trying to work on something on this end, something else is coming.
Yes.
And I don't know if this is a function. I think, I don't know if this is proven or written down or someone else has already sort of stated this, but it seems like this seems to be a function of our generation. Like, you know, as millennials, they're always like, right now in my Chrome, I have two windows open. Each window has about 10 tabs. And all day long, no matter how, and I try to be conscious, like throughout my day, if I'm doing something, you know, I try to be conscious of that and try to close. Okay, well, I'm not using this. Let me close this. Let me put that. Let me minimize this. Let me do that. But even when I try to do that.
Jess, that's hard to imagine the tabs in your head.
Exactly. Even when I try to do that, it's just about 15 minutes before it's like that again. And then, like you said, because my mind, I think it sort of mirrors what's going on in my brain in a way. And like just looking at this is is exhausting. But you know, to your point around the sort of practical, tangible sort of symptoms of this exhaustion is characterized by things like a lack of focus or difficulty focusing, a difficulty concentrating because you're constantly processing information.
My God.
And it's like this like lasting overwhelm, like you can never really sort of settle down, which causes a reduction in your overall productivity, your attention to detail. You have a tendency to make more mistakes because you're not able to focus on one thing at a time.
Oh my God.
One of the things that I was intrigued by that I saw in the research was like mind wandering is a symptom of exhaustion, which made me feel so seen, because sometimes, and I hate to admit this out loud, especially into a microphone on and in front of a camera.
The World Wide Web.
Correct. But there are times, it does not happen often, but there are times, and I've seen other people post this on social media, so I know I'm not alone. Sometimes I be driving and I remember that I'm driving. So it's like, it's like I'll be driving and my mind, like I'll be in the driver's seat, driving safely, watching, being alert. But even while I'm doing that, like my body just sort of routinely does those things.
Autopilot.
While I'm doing that, my mind will be doing 40 different things. Oh, I got to go to CVS. I need to go past the Target. I got to call Jay back. Oh, Mary texted me this morning. I need to call Latoya. All of these things.
Yep.
And I'll be driving. I'll be on my way to a doctor's appointment or on my way somewhere. And then I have to remember like, oh, ma'am, you pay attention. You are driving, ma'am. And you know, constantly dinging. The phone is constantly going off. Notifications, this, all of that. And the wandering of the mind is a symptom of exhaustion. And so as I was reading these characteristics and qualities of mental exhaustion and really seeing myself in everyone, I started to think like, holy God, how this seems so normal to me, which is a problem, but how do we start to sort of address it? Even think about physical symptoms, sometimes. And I just thought it was a function of getting old. But sometimes, you know, I'll be sitting here at my desk or mm-hmm. in the kitchen doing something, and I'll just go to do something else, and my arm will be asleep, mm-hmm. or it will just mm-hmm. be hurting. I'll mm-hmm. have any sort of physical pain. Sometimes I have unexplained upset stomach or mm-hmm. gas or something. Even when I'm working out, sometimes I can work out and I feel really energized and just sort of do my reps and get my sets. But I noticed yeah. Thursday when I was doing lower body, it was hell. Like mm-hmm. I just felt like, why are these exercises so hard today?
I can't go on anymore.
It's like, I know that I know how to do this lunge, but for some reason today, the mm-hmm. legs are not working. Like, it just mm-hmm. seems so much harder. And so mm-hmm. it is a function of not just my body being tired, but my mind yeah. is tired. It's tired. Yeah,
mine is exhausted.
Yeah.
It's exhausted. And I went back to thinking about that conversation that we were having, where we were processing aloud. Mm-hmm. And I think in alignment with this and being exhausted, and there's certain circumstances and that are around us that are out of our control that are like, this is going to continue to have us exhausted. I was really thinking about being super intentional about curating moments of not just rest. We've talked about rest. We've talked about sleep. We've talked about making our appointments, but curating moments of intentional joy and yeah. intentional relaxation.
Yeah.
And I think we think about relaxation in like a big form sometimes. I've got to get a vacation. I've got yeah. to get myself to a beach.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, girl, how often are you going to be able to do yeah. that? I think about, I was talking to a friend of mine and, you know, we were talking through some of the stuff that they're going through. And I was thinking about our conversations when I'm talking to them. And I'm like, a lot of times when you're having your downtime, I notice that you're, you know, playing on Instagram or playing video games or what have you. And it's like, this is the pot calling the kettle. Like, I don't want you to feel like I'm pointing a finger at you, because I have other things that I do that I realized are not moments of actual relaxation.
For sure.
And actual rest. And when I say rest, mind rest.
Yeah.
And body rest. And yeah, I think a lot of times we don't realize that we're not curating those spaces for ourselves.
I talked to Fran this week because I was telling, you know, Fran and I are accountability partners, especially with mm-hmm. our working out. So we check in maybe like once a week, and sort of say how mm-hmm. your workout's going, how you feeling, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And so I shared with her, you know, about my blood work, and we were talking about that last week. And so she asked me this week, you know, how that was going, like how, mm-hmm. and I said, well, you know, I'm still having a hard time sleeping. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. you know, I asked her, because I know that one thing about our sister, Fran is really
wonderful.
Yes, I admire her commitment to her to the boundaries that she has sort of established.
Placed around true rest, yeah.
Around sort of pouring into herself and making mm-hmm. sure that she's good. And I know, you know, we used to joke all the time. Since Marie used to joke, like, you know, I text Fran, and, you know, I don't know when she going. Like,
where's she going to hit us back? Because she might listen. She if might. Fran sets a boundary, she sets a boundary yeah. around. And but you need it.
You
like,
do.
It's clear. It's becoming even more clear, more than usual,
more
why
clear.
That is necessary for all of us.
I asked her, I said, how do you, like, how do you keep yourself from, like, scrolling at night? How did you improve your sleep hygiene? And she was like, unplugging. We really have to be very particular about unplugging. And she mm-hmm. said, I had to, you know, some people can put their phone across the room. Some people can put it, you know, on the other side of the bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. She was like, I leave my phone in the bathroom.
Mm.
And, you know, at first when she said it, I was just like, well, that feels extreme. But no, seriously, mm-hmm. like after mm-hmm. you know, I was thinking about that, and I sort of keep, I have the little stand where you can like charge your phone and your watch and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And I mm-hmm. keep it right by the bed. So the phone is literally right there. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's the first thing I reach for in the morning before mm-hmm. I put my glasses on. I reach for that phone, which is nuts. Mm. But, you know, she said, I leave my phone in the bathroom. And, you know, that's where it charges and that's where it sits. And, you know, mm-hmm. when I get in the bed, it is to sleep and sort of relax mm-hmm. and, you know, disconnect. And she said, I read for 10 to 15 mm-hmm. minutes. And then, you know, that sort of slows my body down and mm-hmm. helps, you know, my mind to focus on what I'm reading as opposed to just sort of racing. And that sort of gets me in the space where I can really sleep. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to try that. And mm-hmm. I have to acknowledge that, you know, I had a little anxiety about, because I've become addicted to having the phone mm-hmm. in my hand and just like constantly and incessantly looking, checking social, not even just Instagram and Twitter, but like even like watching YouTube videos or mm-hmm. reading, you know, mm-hmm. news and notifications. And I have to be intentional about not ingesting as much information. I'm taking in way too much. And mm-hmm. so if I want to, you know, exhaustion is really an overload of mm-hmm. information. Your mind is processing, and you have to be intentional. If we want to overcome mental mm-hmm. exhaustion, there are things that we do not only to take a break and get that rest, like you said, not just, you know, to sleep, but you have to mm-hmm. like slow your mind down.
Yeah.
So some people do that through sleeping. Some people do that through like developing a meditation practice, mm-hmm. staying active. Exercise can be a good break or escape for people. But mm-hmm. when you talk about self-care, not only joy, but like restorative practice, what are the things that fill you back up? Whatever that is, whether mm-hmm. it be coloring, whether it be cooking, whether it mm-hmm. be, you know, what are the things that slow your mind down and get you focused back on your breathing and, you know, just being as opposed to figuring all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You actually just said it. Cooking does that for me because nice. I noticed in life, like you said, if I'm cleaning, my mind is on a million things. It's not just on the one thing I'm doing. It's like, okay, after I do this, then I got to do this, then I got to do this, then we got to record at this time. I need to make sure that I stop at this time, take a shower, and then I sit down, I give myself this much. Like, it's constantly that. When I'm cooking, especially when I'm not cooking for, like if people are coming over like, or something like that, yeah. I'm just like the other day I was like, I'm going to make some white bean chicken chili, which sounds very Midwestern, but it was fantastic.
I believe you.
And then I was like, and I think I'm going to make some roasted tomato soup, and I think I'm going to make some broccoli cheddar, and I'm going to make some stock. And, and I got, first of all, a moment of joy. I was like, well, oh, wow, I haven't had that in a minute.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to get all my meats together. And then I'm just going to relax in here and make soup. And I'm not making it for any particular reason. I'm making it so we can have it in the freezer and pull it out. But I also realized that's my time where my mind shuts off and I just can just be in the kitchen. But obviously, cooking all the time is not getting... I can't, like, constantly cook around the clock in order to rest myself. So I've started getting really intentional about my reading. And also, you know, I'm a night person. And I'll go into the night doing stuff. I'll wash some clothes. And I've started stopping myself.
Yeah.
When I get ready to go in that direction, I'm like, you know what? If you don't wash this load of clothes tonight, literally nothing is going to happen. So wash the clothes in the morning and start winding yourself down. And then I said, I'm going to start incorporating stretching. So I'm trying, but I don't want to overwhelm myself by thinking of all the things I need to do to rest myself. So I'm just slowly, I'm being I'm trying to be a lot more gentle with myself, especially right now. And even in incorporating those things that I know are going to alter my exercise, all these things, mm-hmm. I'm doing one thing at a time. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start focusing on this. And now I'm going to start focusing on, I'm going to incorporate a little bit of this. Yeah, and I'm trying to be really intentional with that, but also really gentle and not trying to incorporate all the things all at one time, because then you get overwhelmed and you get exhausted by the fact that you can't wind yourself down because you're trying to do all the things.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because one of the things that was, you know, reflected in the resources that I was reading was like, mm-hmm. you know, the focus on developing these practices, because I think our culture just sort of pushes us toward a very linear way of thinking about mm-hmm. process and how things are done. It's like exhaustion, rest, you know, I'm exhausted, I will go to sleep, mm-hmm. and then I'll feel better. Mm-hmm. That's not mm-hmm. how, that's not, you know, it's a very linear one way of looking at it. But the truth mm-hmm. is, it's like these things require the development of skills and practices that take time. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're building a muscle. And, you know, just like with anything that you practice, there will be some days where you're really good at it. There will be some days where you're terrible at it. Mm-hmm. And practice, like by definition, is just like trial and error. And so it is about collecting information and then deciding, you know, which things you're going to try at what time and seeing how mm-hmm. things feel. And I love that you said you're extending yourself grace, because like that is absolutely required. If we don't, like, you know, there's no, like, even people like Fran, who I look at as someone who has worked really hard to mm-hmm. develop strong practices and routines for herself, you know, she gets off the wagon, she falls off the wagon, she breaks her routine, mm-hmm. Just like everybody else. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's just a human fact of life. The work of healing and restoration it requires a multi-pronged, multi-effort mm-hmm. approach. You will not be able to just do one thing. Like, you know, I'm going to start meditating and that's going to eliminate my exhaustion. And it's like, no, I might need to meditate and, you know, mm-hmm. declutter my workspace every Tuesday, or I might need therapy and also, you know, improving my sleep hygiene. So it will be a combination of these things, not like you have to perfect one at a time. Mm-hmm. And there will be weeks where you will be like, I'm on it. And then there will be weeks where, girl, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
Because life is continuing to life all around us. Mm-hmm. And things are happening. It will be another, you know, we get word of more tragedy, more despair, more hatred, more wickedness. And that takes a toll on who you are, how you process. And I think that's human, and we should lean into that. When we start mm-hmm. to become desensitized to these things, that's a whole different set of issues.
Yes.
So lean in and allow for, you know, when you run in as hard as we're running, we're allowed to be tired. It does not mean that you're doing a bad job. It does not mean mm-hmm. that you are, you know, poorly managing, or you could be doing better. And that's something that I have to work on. Like, mm-hmm. why am I so tired all the time? It's like, because you got two jobs and you're trying to work out five times a week, and you're trying to answer all your text messages and, you know, be there for your mama and be there for your sisters and friends. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And I have a job that is high touch, and it requires a lot of my mental capacity. I don't have one of those routine autopilot kind of positions. There are some things about my work that, you know, I can just sort of do mindlessly. Mm-hmm, but, you know, I'm sitting in these meetings all day long and I have to be engaged. I have to be on. I have to be thinking. Yeah. And, you know, you don't just do that and just not, you know, that requires energy. That's an investment of energy. And you gotta, I have to be more intentional about pouring back into myself. After I have given all day long. Yes. So even having these conversations and processing aloud, like we did a couple of weeks ago on the show, having a partner, which was very helpful. And I mean, as much as we thought, remember, sister, much as we thought that that episode was a mess, we've gotten lots of good feedback. People was on social saying like, oh my God, that was, you know, so good. And, you know, it's so,
I'm glad you all understood
it. I did, you know, not that they didn't understand it, but I think people appreciated the fact that we demonstrated that sometimes it's just
too much.
Spaghetti.
Too much.
It's just spaghetti. Too much. It's just spaghetti. And yes, that's how our minds work. So that's how our conversation is going to flow sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to ramble on and on and on. But all of
But you're right. And yeah. I think like we were saying a little while ago, finding different ways to really, really pour into yourself and your rest and your relaxation and not eliminating, but managing that fatigue in different ways. It might be different things that feed you at different times. You know, like I said, you don't have to read the book and do the stretching and go do the workout and cook the food and, you know, have your TV time. Like, you don't have to try to do all of those at once. Focus on what is going to bring you some joy and some rest and some relaxation right now. What would it be? And think about it from that standpoint, because we will get overwhelmed by the thought of how to rest. Mm-hmm. that's a thing.
Yeah.
I think this is good, because it's a reminder for us to tap into those intentional ways, because stress and exhaustion will kill us.
No, seriously. Like, and I was not, I said it at the top of the show, but it's true. Now more than ever, people in our age bracket or demographic and younger, mm-hmm. suffering. Snoop Dogg's daughter had a stroke.
What?
Yeah. Snoop Dogg's daughter had a stroke. I saw recently, she's not even, I think she's in her early 30s. If that, she may even be in her late 20s, but, you know, I know people personally, you know, friends, coworkers, mm-hmm. and I mean, when I looked at my own blood work, you see it. It is having an impact.
And yeah, you're right. It's happening younger and younger.
Yes, it's having
Erica,
an impact.
When Erica came through and said that, she told me she had breast cancer and had to get a double mastectomy, I was like,
all of that. Like,
this is where we are right now.
I have rheumatoid arthritis. And so mm-hmm. many, there's so much research and literature out there around how, like, a chronic illness is often a manifestation of stress and your body's way of holding on to trauma. But, you know, if we are not intentional about these things, they will take us over. And you don't have
and to take us out.
Exactly. And you don't have to have it all together and get it all right at the first shot. But mm-hmm. it is something to be said for learning to do better, mm-hmm. trying mm-hmm. to do better. And I believe mm-hmm. that God honors that effort, you know, and recognizing that it's a slow drip. It's slow progress.
I'm looking at it as a muscle. It's just mm-hmm. another muscle.
Yeah.
And it's going to take some time and some work to build it up. You know, and I'm just going to try and be as gentle with myself while I'm building that muscle of being gentle with myself.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. Be gentle with yourself. And we talk about Black women's self-care every week, but this is just really, really learning more about exhaustion. Mm-hmm. Don't just, you know, I'm tired, but think about what's making you tired. Mm-hmm. And see if there are things that you might be able to do to help to lift some of this heaviness off of you. Because the older we get, the more responsibilities come. And if we are not diligent about managing ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, they will be managed all upside our heads.
Yeah.
Or not managed.
Your body will shut down. It will shut all the way down.
I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want
to. I'd love to hear from you all on the ways that you all are intentionally tapping into your ways of rest, relaxation, joy, and exhaustion. Like, how are you combating that? Let us know. Write in. hello@gettinggrown.co. I would love to hear from you all. I just want to see. I'm like, you know, we can all be accountability partners. You know, I don't put my phone near my head when I sleep.
Oh, that's wise, one thing. Wisdom. I don't know where. I'm like, the bathroom is so far, but
well, maybe I have to have it in close enough proximity where I, because the alarm or whatever. But I make sure that I don't put it parallel to my head, and that the first time of me reaching for it is to turn the alarm off. But I'm like, let me do something else instead of trying to get on the scroll.
Work on that. That's something that is a challenge for me.
Or I'll do my social media stuff. Because if you notice, you'll get like 6 posts from me in the morning. So after they leave, if I'm having coffee or something, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You just have to put some boundaries around it.
I do.
It. So not you.
No.
All of us. I had to do it to myself.
I know you weren't talking to me. I'm just saying I do. Yes.
I will sometimes have my coffee and I'll, you know, get my news and do my scrolling and post my stories. And then you won't see anything for another 9 hours because then but that doesn't mean that I'm resting or it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily being the healthiest with how I'm handling myself. That's just one thing. So one thing at a time, one thing at a time.
Check in with yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Check in with yourself. Think about what you're doing and how what you're doing makes you feel. Mm-hmm. Is this something that is contributing to my exhaustion or is this something that brings me joy? Like last night I cut on the kids' bacon championship. I was behind, you know, yes. I was behind. I had missed that like eight. They on episode 8 of the season. I'm like, Lord, where have I been? But I saw something about them little 4th and 5th graders making cake. It's just like
it brings me joy. It's just joyful.
Just look at this little black girl making a lemon icebox cake. Like, girl.
Oh my God.
Seriously.
Wait. That is one of my favorite cakes.
It was so this season is all about school. So all of the weekly episodes, they have a competition. Their competitions are themed around aspects of going to school. So they did like a picture day. They did a picture day challenge. Mm-hmm. And so everyone took a school picture and they printed it out on like edible paper. Mm-hmm. And so you had to make a picture day cake. And everybody got a flavor combination that they had to pick. Mm-hmm. And then there was a twist, right? So you get your flavor combination and it was like, you know, cookies and cream, carrot, lemon, mango. Mm-hmm. Somebody made a lime cake. It was all that kind of stuff. So the young lady who got lemon, she made a lemon icebox cake. And then the twist was on picture day, you know, you say cheese. So they had to incorporate cheese into. Oh. So whether it was cream cheese, ricotta. So she made a lemon icebox cake with a ricotta buttercream. Right?
Listen here, young Keisha. You better do it.
Right? And then you had to decorate your cake. And you can make, you know, as a little decor, you made little emojis that represent the things that you like. So she was like, you know, I made a surfboard. A little girl from Hawaii. She was like, I made a surfboard because I like to surf. Or I put pom-poms on here because I'm a cheerleader. And just watching them little children make them little cakes, I was just like, oh, this is just so good.
Because how can you think about anything else in your life while kids are on TV making cake?
It's like, I'm just so impressed with these little kids knowing how to make buttercream from scratch.
Hello. Not easy. And probably a good one. And a ricotta buttercream.
It looks so good, sister. I'm like, look at this this young lady. I'm so impressed. Fourth grade.
You know what I was doing in fourth grade?
Not that.
Nothing.
Exactly. Not that. But I love it. And even like, you know, coloring my hair, doing stuff. They started doing step classes at the gym. It just, you know, we was just in there on our Richard Simmons.
I'm going to try to learn the Tamia dance I told XD. I am. I'm gonna really put my best foot forward. No pun intended.
Is that your black?
Yeah, I'm dead ass.
Is that your black woman self care? Is that like, that's like a project though? That's
a project.
That's like a time consuming.
Because I'm also going to figure out how to line dance. You know, it's, I gotta,
oh, I can't
do that,
wait. So. I can't wait. And you know, the girls are, I've seen some contenders.
Oh, I've seen them.
They're already starting to make handle. They're making, woo, the Texas Hold'em dance on TikTok. And I'm like, I haven't seen one that I wanted to try yet. Some of them are a little like,
No, they all look like I would look at in Crystal's living room. Like, they're shuffling the feet. They're shuffling the feet. I seen two black, now it was two black boys.
Oh, go ahead.
And they were in a parking lot or like a gas station or something. I like them. It was like nice and smooth. I was like, okay, I might have learned that one.
Yeah.
But that Tamia dance, that's my first algebra. That's my first.
It is trigonometry.
Because there's no fucking way I'm gonna be able to think about anything else.
That is an escape.
While I'm trying to figure out how to do that dance.
It is an escape. And I think that, you know, I might join you. I know.
Let's go.
I can do it if somebody is doing it in front of me. But if you ask me to get up and do it right now by myself, no, ma'am.
Look, I know. I think I know one part. When I think about you, I think about never pass up to you. And then that's when they start spitting and doing all the shit and I get confused. So I'm like, all right, we got to tap in.
What?
One night, Tristan was like, what are we going to do on this Saturday night? And we literally pulled up a bunch of niggas in Michigan and Chicago.
They're very serious about it. Very
in Ohio.
Very, those Midwest blacks, honey, they don't play around.
They come out in the fits, okay? And they get to shuffling and they get to stepping. And I'm like, you know what? I can do it. Tamia is Canadian. If she can make this dance, I can learn it.
Can she do it?
Yeah, her and Grant Hill was up there doing it.
Oh, good. I would love to see Grant Hill do it. He can do it and he's tall. Because, you know, sometimes the people who are extremely tall, I'm not even extremely tall, but I feel like the height and the coordination is sometimes.
Like, I'd be curious to see what Shannon Sharp looks like dancing. I'd be curious.
Shannon Sharp sounds like my daddy and I just cannot unsee it.
Okay, I. Oh, he looked kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. And my ex looks like Shannon Sharp. Crazy.
Let me send you this video now. It's the mannerisms. Mm. It is the, like, he acts like my daddy.
Grant Hill
and
Tamia line dancing.
I can do it. There's just one part. It's the part at the end. Right before the spin, that always.
This is what I'm saying. Yes. You know I want it better. And then it starts. I'm like, I can't with this anymore. Okay, here we go. They are. Okay, so I'm sending this to you right now. See? Look, there it goes. Now we're getting confused. And here we go. Kick it. Wah. Ta 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 ta. Okay, I just sent it to you. Look at it. Look at it. I think by the time we go on our vacation,
yes,
we should know how to do that. Yeah,
Does Crystal Jean know how to do it?
Who?
Crystal Jean.
You know she don't know how to do it, but we're gonna make her ass learn too. And Toya as well.
She's gonna be like, oh, fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, fun.
I love that idea.
Great.
Look at Grant Hill's big ass doing that dance with his low top sneakers
and ankle socks. You know, did you know that the young people say that ankle socks are for old people? Did you know that the TikTokers are out there shading us because we wear footies?
I don't give a fuck what those filthy creatures have to say about anything.
They are shading us so badly. They are shading us so. They're pissed.
I don't wear ankle socks because I hate them.
Oh my
and
God, look at your ankles. I'm like, what? You guys are so hateful.
That also reminds me of another story to show you how hateful kids are.
Look at him. He got on some Stan Smiths. Come on, Grant Hill.
He went to his Stan Smiths and his poom shorts.
Pa, pa.
Do you see him? Pa, doing it. Doing pa, it. Pa, and Tamia has on her sensible sneaker.
Yes. It's the spin. It's the spin for me. But
it's the spin. And when the feet start going multiple times, like I'm like, okay, wait, hold on. That's gonna be how that's gonna be one way we're gonna learn how to do that.
Yes. We're gonna do it. I believe
we're gonna learn how to do that. Well, yeah, make sure y'all are writing and let us know how you're curating your moments. Let us know how you're being intentional with your moments.
We're going to do the Tamia line dance. And that's how
we're going to do the Tamia line dance.
Eliminate our mental exhaustion.
Can you imagine if that was the cure?
That's how we're going to get it done.
I found it, guys, and it's all through the electric slide. We've had it all this time.
That is the ticket.
We love you all for real, and we'll see you for the next segment.
Yeah.
Whenever I look at pictures of my kid from the past year or even just a few months ago, I'm so amazed at how fast she's growing up. And then it hits me hard, right in my belly. I'm getting older too. That's why planning for my family's financial security has become a top priority. Making sure we're prepared and have enough life insurance in case something unexpected happens and I'm out of the picture is crucial. It's uncomfortable, but it's crucial. And Fabric by Gerber Life makes it simple to get the protection that's right for your family. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. Fabric has flexible policies that fit your family and your budget with quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. And it's all online and on your schedule. So there's no appointments, there's no scheduling, no piles of paperwork. Just apply when it's convenient for you. Nothing to make your life even more hectic. You can go from start to covered in less than 10 minutes with no health exam required, might I add. And there's no risk to apply. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. Fabric is partnered with Gerber Life, trusted by millions of families like yours for over 50 years. With over 1,800 five-star reviews, they're rated as excellent on Trustpilot. And Fabric has more than just life insurance. It's a one-stop shop that also has free digital wills, investment accounts that let you save for your kid's future, and you can manage your family's finances right from your phone, so your family is prepared literally for anything. Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/grown. That's meetfabric.com/grown. Let me spell it out for you. meetfabric.com/grown. Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome back to the self-care. And I don't know, I know that's right. And I don't know which one this would be considered. I just wanted to share it. So maybe it's an I know that's right, but it's an I know that's right for Michelle Meadows and Jamil Law.
Nice.
Who are they, you might wonder? They are the author and illustrator of Jimmy's Rhythm and Blues.
Oh, I love that.
The Extraordinary Life of James Baldwin. Now, you know, we get a lot of, we've gotten a lot of information if you've taken African-American studies in school or, you know, you were able to do your own research as you got older. But this James Baldwin, while we all know who James Baldwin is, a lot of us were not taught about James Baldwin in formal educational spaces. It usually is something that comes as you get a little more radicalized and get a little older. And so I love that they wrote this book for kids so that our Black children and all children can get a hold of, because James Baldwin's words, I don't think they've resonated more than they have around this time now.
Timeless. They are
You know, they are timeless. They are genius. They are soothing for the soul. And I think that our children deserve to learn about James Baldwin as well. And so I love that they were able to break this down into some of his writings. The illustrations are phenomenal. Shout out to you, Jamil. And so, you know, the first one is Home is Brick Brown, Harlem Uptown, Trains Rumbling By. Born, raised in the heart of Harlem, James Baldwin grew up playing on the rooftop, living in books, dreaming about changing the world. Friends and family called him Jimmy, and it just goes through to tell you about his life, but it also incorporates his writings outside of cement, gray, hard, cold concrete, crumbling, crackling. I think it's beautiful. And I love when I find things that teach our children, they start teaching our children earlier. So I know that's right.
I know that's right.
Michelle and Jamil Law, you guys did your really, really, really good work with this. And so if you've got nieces, nephews, children, whoever, whatever kids are in your life, pick yourself up a copy of Jimmy's Rhythm and Blues, The Extraordinary Life of James Baldwin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What you got?
My Black Woman Self-Care, you know, I said this week was particularly full, and my grief was triggered in a very, I don't really even really know what specifically triggered it, but I just was very thoughtful about, like I said, my brother was on my mind a lot, and then also my grandmother. Also, you know, with it being Valentine's Day, also sort of seeing my grandfather who's still grieving, you know, and really sort of learning all of the ways that grief is, all of the ways that my family members are grieving. It's something that I've been hyper conscious of this week particularly. And I think in self-care, I remember a time when that was something that I would beat myself up about or try to push through. But I let my feelings be what they needed to be this week. And that is not something that I've always done. So I noticed it, and I'm proud of myself for allowing myself that time and space emotionally. Also communicating it. I told a story on my stories on Instagram about, and not to be like weird, but as you know, sister, because you're there at Brian's funeral, more specifically the burial, one of the things that I just sort of kept was like heavy on my spirit. I just was like asking and praying, like, you know, don't leave me. I never had been without him. And so I don't know how, but just I need signals that you're still around, that I'm not, you know, out here totally alone. And so I have to say that he's honored that request. God's honored that prayer, and Brian's honored that request. And it's not often, but there are times where I feel like I hear him or I feel, and I don't know if it's my imagination or what, but I was looking for my keys. I was going to the gym on Thursday. I could not find my keys. Not unusual, but for whatever reason, I was really late and I bit up and down the stairs. Did I leave them downstairs? Did I leave them up there? Was it in the bag? Were they on the desk? I'm just sort of going crazy looking for the keys, and I went up and down the stairs 2 and 3 times, and I literally just felt, and it was happened in a way that I felt like was so true to his personality and how he would say it, but I literally heard Brian say, "You left them in the door, dummy." Just like that. "You left them in the door." And oh, so, man. Sure enough, I walk to the back door and I unlock it and open it, and there they are in the door. And it was like, dang. Like, it was like, thank you, but but okay. And so it was like, wow, like it still sort of takes my breath. And when those, and it doesn't happen often, but it happens where I just feel like he's watching and he is still helping and making sure that I'm good. And so, yeah, I don't know if that is. I don't know.
I think that's very cathartic for self. I think, you know, and it may not be something that you controlled, but it's something that soothed your soul this week, especially as it's been a particularly hard week. And yeah. And even though he doesn't show up all the time, he showed up when he needed to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he showed up when you needed him to. Right. So I think that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful. Shout out to my nigga Brian.
Shout out to my nigga Brian.
Shout out to my nigga Brian. Oh, man, that's really beautiful. I almost don't want to do a petty peeve because that's so beautiful. One. But we're going to do it. No, we're going to do it. So let's go.
I'm ready. I'm ready this week, buddy. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with a pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meal delivered right to your door. You'll have over 35 different options a week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more. And there's even more to enjoy with over 55 nutrition-packed add-ons that help make your weekly meal planning even more delicious. What are you waiting for? Get started today and have a feel-good week of meals ready to go. Fuel up with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat wherever and whenever you are. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Head to factormeals.com/grown50 and use the code GROWN50 to get 50% off. That's code GROWN50 at factormeals.com/grown50 to get 50% off.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister. Because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right, sister. I said that I believe that you might align with me on my petty peeve this week. And may resonate with you.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the supermarket. And I feel like...
my personal haven and hell.
Yes, I may be dating myself a little bit, but I just remember a time when the grocers, the people that worked at the grocery store, you know, had certain skills, whether it be bagging, how to bag the groceries, where things in the store are, such that they can assist customers who may be, you know, having some issues or I have some questions. So I was at the store. I stopped into the Giant there after I left the gym to pick up a couple of things. And I only had two bags worth of groceries. I know that, you know, because I don't know if they're doing it in New York, but they are charging for the bags nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they started in D.C. first, I think.
Yeah. So I'm accustomed to it. So, you know, when they ask me if I don't have my bag and they say, would you like to buy bags? I just say yes. And so I'm thinking, I didn't say I just want one bag. I just want two. You don't got to try to squeeze all these things into one bag. Just give me the bags that I need and I will pay for them.
Oh, you're about to piss me off.
So I had a couple of meats. I had a couple of glass items. I had a couple of, you know, heavier things like butter, like, you know, a tub of butter, not like some sticks, but, you know, but the soft, like you don't want to put nothing on top of that. I'm watching this man bag up my groceries. And he had, okay, this is another one. Now, I'm going to shout out my sis, Miss August. She mentioned this on her social media and I just, it just rung through my soul when she said it. Because not only are they now charging us for these bags, but the bags themselves are not bagging like they used to. So the bags don't have no handles.
Mm-mm.
These paper bags with no handles is really wearing like me. Because, I mean, we all in the store like... Yeah.
Like it's... Like, which they used to do back in the day. And then they came out with the handles.
Yeah,
the
but like, you know, paper bag, no handles. So he fills up. It's only... The stuff probably could have comfortably fit into the four bags, honestly.
Okay.
But he put everything into two bags. And so what happened? Picks up the second bag. It rips.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he hands me a paper bag. And basically says, like...
Bag your shit?
Yeah. Like, he didn't say anything. He's just handing me the bag. And I'm looking at him like, what am I supposed to do with that? And so he's like, here's another bag. And I said, well, if all of this stuff ripped this bag and you just gonna give me one more, what's the difference between this bag and that? And I waited and I'm like, help me to know if this bag with all of these things ripped, you gonna give me one more bag
to put all the same
to put all the same stuff back in it? And then he says, sister, would you like to purchase another bag? And I said...
Would you like me to snuff you in the throat?
I said, see? I'm not purchasing another nothing. I'm also not bagging these groceries because I don't work here.
And you just did some foolishness that I'm not responsible for.
And I don't know what makes you feel like if one bag ripped, another bag is not going to rip. I don't care how you carry it. I don't care how you pick it up. It's too much stuff for this one bag.
And like, are you dumb?
When you asked me if I needed bags, I didn't say, yes, give me two. I said, yes, bag up my groceries as they need to be bagged, sir. And I'm like, this is not no young teenage boy.
Oh.
This big grown man with big ashy knuckles. And I'm out here and I'm like, sir, no, because I am not an employee of this establishment. And I'm not at the self-checkout.
No.
I'm not over there. I could have gone over there, but I'm not over there. So we are at an impasse.
We are at an impasse.
We are stuck like Chuck, my guy. What we about to do?
You seem to be confused, old sir. You seem to be a confused
But
individual.
I'm saying, like, how do you get
so
to
So how did this end? How did this turn out?
The man behind, there was a black married couple
mm-hmm.
behind, and I say they were married because it was Valentine's Day, and, you know, they was very much together.
Okay.
And they little matching sweatshirts, okay, it was adorable.
I love it.
Yes.
Headassery.
Yes. And so the man was like, sir, you need to give her another bag and like, you need to put those glass items on the bottom. You double that bag, you put those glass items on the bottom, then you can put the other things on top of that. But you need something so that the bag doesn't rip again. And the wife was looking at him like I was looking at him like. And so... You know, he responded when the man said something, but I was just mm-hmm. like, I don't work here. Not to be that girl, but like.
But I don't. And I'm spending my money to take the, like, I'm spending my money. And like you said, I didn't go to the self-checkout line.
I didn't.
I could have done that, but I didn't go to the self-checkout line.
I mean, I did not. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm being unreasonable, but I just saying if it's 15 of these items and this 15 items split this bag in two, why would you feel like these same 15 items would not split this bag in two?
Another bag. I will fling this glass across this store.
I just was like, I am undone. I'm just like, well. And the best part was when he was like, would you like to purchase another bag? I said, I'm not purchasing nothing else.
Would you like to purchase this dick? Like, get out of here.
I said, I'm not purchasing nothing else. Neither will I be bagging these groceries, young man.
That's how I know the whole world. The whole world is smoking dicks. Everybody's smoking dicks.
What a time. I was like, these, like.
My petty peeve is petty. Mm-hmm. It's very petty, mm-hmm. but I digress. And it should have been a part of my self-care. So I went back to the old jazz club that I used to work at.
Yes.
Antonio and I went.
Hey, Antonio. And
had us a friend date, and we both used to work there. So we were like, let's go catch up with who's left. And
were there lots of people?
And mind
left?
You, no, because okay. Antonio started 20 years ago.
Wow.
The club opened 20 years ago, literally in 2004, excuse me. Mm. And he started then, and then I came along in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, 11 years later, there's only maybe 5 people left out of the whole giant staff that we know. But it was really good to see those 5 people.
Nice.
So that was lovely. That was beautiful. But of course, we're there and we're like, wait, this is change? Oh, this is change. Oh, this is change. Now, you all know me.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that as an employee, I was vocal about things that didn't make any fucking sense.
Right.
You know, that's how my hair caught on fire because mm-hmm. niggas wasn't listening and so many things. And it would be practical things where I'm like, and then it would also sometimes be bitchy things like, don't y'all bring me no mojitos when we're getting ready to close. Like, don't you tell your people they get a shot, a wine or a beer. Like, this is crazy.
There's a lot of dishes you know. Get dirtied in the mojito making process.
Hello. Or I'm like, oh, they're able to order these full course meals in the second set. I was like, so then we're here. So we go back, and so all these things have changed, right? They've done a limited menu for the second set. Mm. They have moved the time up by half an hour.
You better
to
have
make
impact.
Sure.
It's the like, impact for me.
It's several things.
Yes.
And I was talking to my homegirl who's the manager, and I said, yo, like all my bitching and complaining, like I'm the Harriet Tubman of this club. I was like, all my bitching and complaining, and y'all just thought I was a bitch. I was like, and look at all the changes you've made. She was like, no. And she goes, you know the most infuriating part about this? I was like, what? She goes, the staff now complains about things. And I was like, I don't work here anymore. Bring me in, coach, to have a conversation about the days of yesteryear. Like,
you don't know what like, you got, okay?
You don't know how good you have it. I was like, they're walking around in t-shirts. Mm. And I was like, these niggas have it easy. She was like, no, they really do. And they complain, Jade.
She's like, they complain about. Yeah, collar shirt.
We have to wear button-ups and shit. Like, while I'm back there bartending, nigga, you know how hot that is?
Yeah.
So I used to try to skirt the policy around dress code and stuff. Yes. I started getting these. I would do the button ups with the collars, but they'd be sleeveless. So I come in, they're like, Jade. And I was like, you said a button up with a collar. Like, what are we doing? You know? And then we had like a special edition.
You didn't say nothing about my arms being out.
You didn't say nothing about my arms. When they brought these t-shirts in, they were like, you all are going to wear this for this one time. It said jazz on it. They were like, for this special event or whatever. I was like, so listen, why can't we wear these all the time? They represent the club. They're mm-hmm. black. So I started trying to wear the jazz shirt when it wasn't the jazz shirt days. Now they get to just wear a black t-shirt.
Nice.
They get to just hang loose. And so I was irritated.
Tubman. You are Harriet
I'm the
Tubman.
Harriet Tubman of this jazz club.
I see it, sis.
And so when she told me they complain.
Wow.
About how easy they have it at this point.
Wow.
I almost spawned a nuke. So, but that's my petty peeve. That's it. You don't know how good you don't know what you got till it's gone. Okay. So, and that's another episode of Getting Grown.
Yes,
thank
it
you
is.
All so much for rocking with us every single week. Make sure you check out the Patreon where you get additional content.
Sheldon.
Me and I have conversations about all kinds of things.
Oh, good times.
It's a good time. It's a really good time. And, you know, make sure you're tuning in every Tuesday. Support the ads. It supports the show. And sis, take them out and tell them what to do.
Absolutely. You want to be making sure that as you are not only focused on Eliminating your mental exhaustion, mm-hmm. one restorative practice at a time. You want to do that. You want to also be intentional about keeping your mind moisturized. And the way that you yes. do that, beloved, is by minding your business. Ask yourself, when you find yourself getting worked up about things, the first check is this my business? If it is not,
mine?
Put it down, girl. That's not your bag to carry.
Okay? Let it go.
That's right. And you also want to keep your insides moisturized by drinking just as much water as your body can sustain. Okay? Listen, look at my bottle is empty because I've been drinking it.
Here, here. Is it one of those Stanley bottles? No, what's the big deal?
I love an essential bottle. Just very, it's capitalism.
Sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Continue. Them big old jugs. And finally, you want to keep your skin moisturized as this weather is erratic and just as unpredictable as Lindsay Lohan. You want to make sure that you are keeping your skin moisturized because your black will crack if it's dry.
Your black will crack if it's dry. Do you remember when Lindsay Lohan was doing that accent one time? Yeah.
Bye. Every time I think of Lindsay Lohan, I think of NeNe Leakes talking about Lindsay Lohan daddy.
Lindsay Lohan daddy.
That's Lindsay Lohan daddy.
And it was also, Lindsay Lohan daddy.
That's what I'm saying. Lanithia is TV gold. I don't care.
She really, that's what she was truly made for.
Is.
That's what she was made for.
That's Lindsay Lohan daddy.
Lindsay Lohan daddy.
Bye, y'all.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.